Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. We seem to have lost everybody at the front. Come on, let's fill up the front, please. I wanted to preach to empty chairs. Hallelujah. I want to welcome our guests. This is the first time you're with us. Sunday is our family worship service, but we don't want to take away from the fact that we are a church that has experienced revival. A lot of you haven't had the opportunity yet to come to other meetings, and I would really encourage you. I want to say this. I would like this Tuesday, for anybody in any leadership position, please be at the Tuesday meeting. That's all worship leaders, all worshipers, anybody on the worship team, if you could be here this Tuesday evening for the meeting. I know it's short notice, but the World Series hasn't started yet. And so Tuesday, anybody with any ministry, we need to gather together this Tuesday, and just to establish a couple of things, we really appreciate it if you could make it. Let's start by turning to Matthew chapter 28. We'd like to say how we now, as Kingsfire International, we're not just a local church, we are a movement. We are an apostolic movement, and we want to encourage all of you to be part of that, and that there is an increase in the spirit upon the demand of people and their walk with Jesus. So many times we've been asked, well, what kind of church are you? So that's one of the points. Last week I preached on a message that we were a hungry church. Somebody say hungry church.
Hungry church.
Now I want to bring up the subject of the fact that we are a discipling church. We are a church that believes that people need to be discipled. Let's start by looking at Matthew chapter 28. And it says in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Just want to make sure that everybody needs to understand that the meeting place of Jesus is always in a high place. You always need to go up to Mount Zion. You go up to Mount Moriah. There's always a going up to the Mount of Beatitudes. And we need to go up to these places, because when you end up in a valley, you need to have the infilling of what it's like when you're in a high place with Jesus. Many of us, we live in the valleys, we've got too many problems in our life. It's because we don't devote enough time to meet Jesus in the high place. Is anybody understanding me today? We need to meet him in the high place of praise. We need to meet him where he reveals himself as the transfigured God. In other words, the Mount of Transfiguration is where a handful of people saw when his spirit man burst out of his flesh. We need to understand that we are all spirit people, and we all have flesh. And your problem is never your spirit. Your problem is your flesh. So what happens without training yourself and disciplining yourself and allowing yourself to be discipled, what happens is you are not experienced in allowing your spirit man to take dominion over your flesh. The Bible says that sin has no dominion over us. So we are needing to spend more time for our spirit person. The Bible says that this spirit is spirit, that this flesh is flesh. And you know that your flesh is a pain. Come on, somebody help me this morning. Your flesh lusts. Your flesh gets tired. Your flesh is hungry. Your flesh is selfish. And don't think it's anything else. Your flesh is mean. Your flesh is always focused on itself. Your flesh doesn't want to do anything for God, because even the great apostle Peter said, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. So therefore, you have weak flesh. Don't think you have strong flesh. You can go to Planet Fitness. I don't care how much you exercise. Your flesh is weak. Turn to somebody and say, your flesh is weak. Right. So we need to understand this, that when Jesus wants to talk to us, he takes us up to a high place. Many of us are still living in valleys. Many of us have still got too many problems, too many difficulties. We've got difficulties in our health, our families, our relationship. We've got difficulties in our finance. We've got difficulties in our marriage with our kids. It's because you are spending too much time in the valley worshiping your problem more than worshiping God. Is anybody listening to me? When you have a problem, you keep talking about your problems. Oh, the trouble with the world is, your unbelief. That's the end of that conversation. Let's start another one. The only problem in your life is your unbelief. When people came to Jesus and Jesus, if you can only do something, he said, if you can only believe.
The issue is not what Jesus can do. The issue is what can you believe Jesus can do? And this is why discipleship is essential. Jesus does not reveal the full Jesus to you when you get born again. Can somebody hear me? Not too many can hear me. Jesus does not reveal the full Jesus when you get born again. He plants himself into you in seed form, and then you need to begin to understand what has happened when you get born again. It's like if you come from a very poor country, if you was to come from somewhere, well, the poorest country I can think of at the moment would be Zimbabwe. Next week, we have Pastor Ephiel coming to speak here from Zimbabwe. You need to be here. He's speaking here Saturday night and Sunday morning. And you need to be here and avail yourself to his ministry. But he is from a country at the moment that is 94% unemployed, with inflation at somewhere close to 1,000,000%. They've actually given up printing money in their country because once they got to printing $10 billion notes, they decided to give up. It is a country that is so poor that if somebody's been raised in a country like that and then comes to America, it's very easy for them to still in their mind live in poverty and in everything that comes with it because they don't know they've been delivered from it. You, when you were born again, were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of Jesus' marvelous light. You were delivered out of sickness, out of sin, out of poverty, out of loneliness, out of misery, out of depression. You were delivered out of it. It's just that some of you don't know it yet. Can you say amen? And the reason you don't know it is because Jesus wants all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And I want to say this, without discipleship, you won't know the truth. And it's that sets you free. So where was I? The 11 disciples went up with Galilee and the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them. And when he saw them, they worshipped him. Here we go. What does it say? But some doubted. Some doubted. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." How much authority? "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. I am with you even to the end of the age. Amen." Go therefore and make disciples. The Bible is very clear. When you are born again, you are now a child of God, a son, a daughter of God. And what happened is when you're born of God, again, that is born of flesh is flesh, that that's born of spirit is spirit. And your spirit is now made alive to God. The book of Corinthians says he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. One spirit with him. So when the new creation comes and begins to indwell inside of you, and now you have the same spirit inside of you that raised Christ from the dead. The same spirit. This isn't a production line of Model T Fords. There's one spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead has been put inside of you. And now what we have to do is we have to learn, what does that mean? Am I still a Zimbabwean living in poverty? Or have I now been translated into America where I realize that it is the greatest nation in the world with more opportunity than any other country on the face of the planet? And I have to make a decision. Am I going to live in the poverty of my birth or am I going to live in the wealth of my new creation? So therefore, there are many people who have come to our countries, you know, that come from poor countries. And when they come from those poor countries, sometimes it binds and blinds them. Then they don't realize that now they have every opportunity, the same as anyone who was born here. But we don't do that. I want to encourage you. In fact, I want to challenge you. What does it mean to be a discipleship church? I'll tell you what it means. It means we're a church with a challenge. It means if you don't want to be challenged, you probably won't be able to sit here very long. There'll be a week or two or three, and you'll begin to say, "Well, I don't like the way he preaches." Well, you might as well get used to it now, because I'm not going to back off just because of your unbelief. And so, therefore, we need to preach the truth. The truth needs to come out, because it's the truth that'll set you free. And so we need to see this, that the reason why a lot of people leave, remember our vision statement is building a strong people of compassion and character. We are not building weak people. Hallelujah. We accept weak people. We love weak people. We want to encourage weak people. We want to train weak people. We want to disciple weak people. We want to make weak people strong. This is why the Bible says that the weak say they are strong, because if you want to stay weak, trust me, you're either going to sit in these chairs for the next few weeks and end up getting condemned, and then you'll probably go to another church without a challenge and feel more comfortable. So, oh, I'm much more comfortable in this church. Of course you are. There's no challenge. A church without a drill instructor, a church without a school teacher, a church without a father. I don't think I'll go down that road. Okay. Praise God. I want to encourage you, an apostolic church doesn't just preach about the Lord being your shepherd. An apostolic church preaches about he who does not eat of my body and drink of my blood cannot be part of me. That's what the scriptures are very clear on. And the scripture says, as you know, in John 6:6, remember, John 6:6. If you're into numerology, I'm not, but there you go. John 6:6 says, and from that time his disciples turned and followed him no more. So yes, we're going to come to a time where the people of God are not going to be able to endure sound doctrine. They're going to fall away. The Bible calls it the apostasy, a time when people are going to fall away because they can't handle what the gospel actually is. It is an offense. Turn to somebody and says, this sermon's going to be offensive. Praise God. Making disciples means that we have to understand, what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean? As a Christian, you are free. Do whatever you like. Praise God. You don't have to do anything to be a Christian. To be a Christian, you just have to be born again. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partaker of that inheritance. But to be a disciple, there's a qualification. If you go home and study Luke 14, somebody say, study what? If you go home and study Luke 14, you'll find it very clearly. It says, he who does not hate mother, father, wife, children, cannot be my disciple. He who does not pick up his cross every day cannot be my disciple. In other words, without acknowledging the crucifixion of Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live. So therefore, if you've been crucified and you are dead, then what rights do you have? None. Would you agree? So a Christian must understand, to be a disciple, you have to give up your rights. A lot of people say, oh, do you expect us to come to 5 or 6 meetings a week? No. We expect all of you. Forget 5 or 6 meetings a week. We expect